to the T,
the number one
queer sound.
Met a woman from a foreign land. She held magic in her hand, and as she blew, five bubbles flew. Make a wish, she said, 'cause dreams come true. I said, love and laughter, joy with pain, to never feel alone again. Safety in a world of war, to be with someone I adore, and conflict with a grain of salt, where it doesn't matter who's at fault. All of this and so much more made up the dreams I wish for. I'm living in a dream, I'm living in a dream.
Hi world, you're listening to Queer to the T, the number one queer sound promoting a community at large. I'm T and we're at our home base, of course, the one and only Galay, located at 1207 Chestnut Street. And I am in the house today with...
Christy Eastburn.
Yes, and what organization are you representing today?
The March to End Rape Culture, this formerly called Slut Walk.
Formerly called Slut Walk. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind, okay? So there's a lot that we have to talk about today. And, you know, show's only an hour, so we got to get started right now with Hot Topics. So, Christy and I, we were talking off air, and she was like, oh my God, Hot Topics, you won't know what they are until we're on the air. And I was like, yes, because that's how we roll. So, are you ready?
Yep.
As ready as you can be, right?
As ready as
you
can be.
Okay. So, first off, I have Danielle Watts. I didn't see this movie, so I really didn't know who she was until I read up in depth. But do you know about who she is?
Mm-mm.
Okay. She was the actress in Django Unchained that had the woman from Scandal in it, Kerry Washington.
I saw that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So she played one of the maids, one of the maid roles. Mm-hmm. So I'll just read down the breakdown. She was arrested, by the way, for public display of affection. It's hilarious to me, but not for her. Not for her experience.
In real life.
In real life.
Okay.
In real life. A citizen sent a complaint to the LA Police Department claimed that a white male and a black female were involved in sexual acts inside a Mercedes. Mind you, this was outside of the gate of the CPS Studio Center. Like, so I'm just
Are
like...
Are you kidding me?
Really? Oh, okay. So, apparently, police officer comes over and Watts refused to give up her ID because the officer refused to answer her question on the nature of the request for asking for the ID and why she was being accosted all of a sudden.
Mm.
She was detained because she was believed to be a prostitute despite being fully clothed. So, for a lot of people who do not know, which I did not know, Danielle Watts is African-American and her boyfriend is white. And there's a video of it. You can find the video also on CNN where the cop first didn't even acknowledge that Danielle existed as a human being. Mm-hmm. What he did was pose all of his questions. The police officer posed all of his questions to the boyfriend. And the boyfriend said he felt some type of way because the questions that were being posed to him was if he was the client and she indeed was the prostitute. Meaning that he wasn't really going to ask her any questions because he was just talking to the white male. It got out of control, quote unquote, is that when he finally went over to Danielle, she was like, no, I'm not giving you my ID. You didn't even tell me what I'm being pulled over for or being like reprimanded for or what I'm being charged with. And she's like, by the law, you have to tell me what I'm being charged with before I turn over my ID.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently in California, that's not the case. Apparently, an officer can come up to you if they have justifiable cause and ask mm-hmm. you for your identification, which I don't think is cool.
No. That's crazy.
Like, yeah. How do you feel about that?
I mean, it's weird because, like, the laws can vary so much from state to state, and you would think that that would be something across the board that would not be acceptable and not be legal.
Right.
But then you find out in certain cities it is, in certain cities it isn't.
And I'm just like... It's kind of like the weed thing. It's mm-hmm. like, before it was like, you couldn't do weed or certain states you could, and now it's just like, oh, whatever. Like, you know, President Obama's like, oh, it's, but people are still in jail for it. It's like one of these weird things. So it's just like, why does it differ so much state to state? And if she was fully clothed,
why was this even an issue in the first place? It doesn't even sound like a real story.
No, and it literally, it could have been anyone. So you just walked up to any random Mercedes?
Yeah.
First of all, it's the CBS lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure everyone should have a Mercedes in the CBS lot. And you just walk up to the first couple that you see? Like, that's cool, kind of not cool either. Because that's profiling.
I mean, there's clearly an, like, this is clearly a big aspect of racism here that they're assuming she's a prostitute because she's a black woman in the car of a man with a Mercedes, a white man.
And, like, the Mercedes must belong to him.
Right.
And not that it could have belonged to her.
Right. And she's not even worthy of being questioned.
And I was thinking, too, and was like, yeah, there's the race issue. I'm not dismissing that, because, but there's so much going on surrounding race now. But as a human being, you didn't even approach her.
Mm-hmm.
You're already accusing her of something without even asking.
Mm-hmm.
So because she's a woman, she's less than.
Yes. Because she's a black woman.
She's even like, here's the pedestal of less.
Yeah.
And here you are, like, right down here. So I was like, and I saw the video, and I felt bad because she was like crying, and like her boyfriend's in the back, like recording it. But he's recording it because he doesn't want to get involved and then have his phone be taken away, because police think that they can do that now too.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't, okay? If you are on the clock, you have a right. We have a right to film you because we pay you. So, like, I have a right to be filmed. So he was, like, really standing in the back just trying to be like, this is so bad. And then eventually it stops because he wants to help her, because now she's, like, bawling and she's in handcuffs and
that's
got
so
her
sad.
Arms cuffed and cut and all that kind of stuff. And apparently she's on a show now called Partners. I didn't know that was a show. I don't really watch that much TV. But this is why she was on the lot and she was in between breaks.
She's a famous actress.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
So, but the thing is, like, she's on the fam. She's like, and I have a publicist, and da 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 da. And the police officer's like, I don't care. Like, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You okay, sir? So yeah, so that was that one. And then on a weird, but like, it's so him note. Kanye apparently held up his concert in Sydney, Australia. Because he was about to do a song and he wanted everyone, every single one of his fans to stand up before he did this song. And he would not do it until everyone in the stand stood up. So everyone in the stand stood up except for two people. And these two people, one was in a wheelchair and one had a prosthetic limb and could not stand up.
Okay.
But he still insisted upon shouting them out anyway. He was like, I'm not even going to do these songs because these two right here ain't standing.
He is the most ridiculous human being. I don't even know where to start with him.
Kanye, like, help me help you. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And he's in a bubble. Isn't he?
Yeah, he's in that Kardashian bubble. That
was, my gosh.
No, this happened. I can't even blame that on Kim Kardashian as much as I would want to. This predates her. It's not even her fault.
This is 100% Kanye.
But why would that be necessary? Like, I get it. You want everybody in the crowd to be hyped, but they paid to come to your concert. If they not hype, then they not hype. Like, you still getting that paycheck anyway.
I know. I mean, I've seen that where performers kind of feel like they're entitled to, like, whatever kind of response they want, but it just sounds like he forgot that disabled people exist.
But, like, to shout them out, like, that's the thing. It's like, and someone, of course, right, we're in the age of everyone has a smart gadget of some sort, and someone's, like, recording it, and you can hear in the background, he's in a wheelchair! Like,
was there at some point where he got it and said, oh, my bad.
Yeah, but it had went on. Like, you know what I mean?
It like went he on just like, the, like a little bit uncomfortably long.
Yeah. Before. Like, I'm not doing it because all of y'all ain't da 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 da. Like, I'm not even doing it, like, because these two won't stand up. You see that? And I'm like, And at first, you're really like, "What? Okay, like, they won't stand up. What's the big deal?" Until you hear the guy who's recording, like, "They're in a wheelchair." I was done. And then he goes, "Okay, well, then what about you?"
To the other guy.
Yeah, he's like, "I got a prosthetic leg." So it was,
wow. I hope you felt embarrassed.
I felt embarrassed for him. Yeah. So I was like, so even if you don't feel embarrassed, Kanye, I guess I got you. Like, yeah. I don't know, even know what to say to that. Like, I got you. Like, I got you. Like, I'm embarrassed for you.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then speaking of being embarrassed, have you heard about this Ray Rice situation?
Oh, yeah.
I clearly have been under a rock because a lot has been, I'm telling you, a lot has been happening. I just can't keep it up with it anymore. Allegedly, still have to say allegedly, Ray Rice punched his fiance, now wife, in an elevator, Janae Palmer. And the NFL issued an indefinite suspension for Mr. Ray Rice. And apparently he's going to appeal the suspension on the grounds that his prior suspension was in the same category. Mm. There's a rule, apparently some chapter rule, where the association and the union, like if you, let's say, so I think the union suspended him. Now the association, which is the NFL, is suspending him. He got first suspended by the union for some type of domestic whatever. And now the NFL is doing the same thing. In their clause, it says if you have been suspended by one, the other one can't duplicate the suspension. Mm. And what now they're doing, it's like a time period. So his lawyer is trying to say that he can appeal it on the grounds that because it was a domestic dispute charge or whatever, he could not be suspended because they're suspending him. It's kind of like a double jeopardy type of thing. But if it was a different domestic dispute case, then it shouldn't be a double jeopardy. Mm-hmm. Because I found a clip of him punching his fiance, now wife.
There's no doubt about it.
It was brutal.
It was really hard to watch. I almost wished I didn't watch that after I watched it. You know, it was horrific. And to, you know, you have to say allegedly, there's a video of him knocking her out. And it's not the first time that he did that.
Because it was too smooth.
Yeah. He didn't hesitate at all.
It wasn't like, and because it's about body language, because there's no audio. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like, maybe I shouldn't watch it. I should watch it because it's something we should talk about. But I only clicked on it mainly because I thought it was going to be kind of like Solange Jay-Z. That thing that happened in the elevator where Solange really wasn't hitting Jay-Z. But, you know, she was walking out. Mm-hmm. But when I saw it, it was like, even the body language, they were talking. And, you know, she did, like, rear up to, like, get in his face. Mm-hmm. He must have said something. And then the bah! And I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. She hit the floor. Like, there was just, it was quick. It was immediate. But then the body language, he tried to play it off. Like, when the guy, I think the concierge or whoever for the floor, tried to play it off as if she was drunk.
Yeah.
And I think that was the thing that kind of irked me the most.
I thought the guy that approached was like, oh, she's drunk, right?
Yeah.
Like, he basically didn't really have a lot of concern for what was going on at Mm-mm. all.
And, like, and it was, and I guess, like, because that guy clearly can't see the moments before. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you ask, oh, she's drunk, like, it's kind of like, well, she got sloppy. What can I say? Right. It's kind of like that. Everybody gets sloppy, so I'm not going to think too much about it. But it's when, like, she was crying. Like, you could see her body. Like, she was crying. And then he was trying to pretend to help her up because now people were surrounding.
Yeah.
And then she was throwing her hands
out. She was saying, get off of me. Yeah. Like,
get away. And even the before moments, he really wasn't even gentle in, like, picking her up. Mm-mm. You knocked her flat out.
He was kind of, like, picking up her body like a...
like a rag doll.
Yeah.
And then when her legs wouldn't come out the elevator, he kicked them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's disgusting.
But he's fighting for his job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what's important.
And, I mean, the way the NFL handled the whole thing, basically trying to say they didn't get the video when the Associated Press confirmed that they got the video way before they said they did. And were just trying to kind of cover it up or kind of save face so that they didn't have to go forward with harsher penalties. Mm-hmm. You know, it's with the NFL, it's all about saving face. Mm-hmm. And it's this whole situation just shows like how disturbing the way that they handle things and how, the way that things are run there.
It blew me for the loop. And then for me, because I'm like always a thinker and then trying to play devil's advocate, I'm just like, but Janae, you're married to someone who will do this to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not about victim shaming or anything of that nature. It's like, we are of a time now as female bodied individuals where we have voice. You don't have to be there. This man clearly knocked you out and you're standing by his side and there's video of him knocking you out in an elevator.
Mm-hmm.
My mama told me at 5 years old, don't let nobody put their hands on you.
Yeah.
And when they do, you run.
But maybe her mom didn't.
Didn't teach her that.
I mean, when you grow up with violence in your family, domestic violence in your family, and you learn that that's the way things work, I mean, it really... For me to grow up in a family like you, mm-hmm. where the mother would not take that anymore, or for me, a mother that would step away from something like that,
yeah.
and teach me how to react in that kind of situation, mm-hmm. we got to remember that not everybody is living in that world still.
That's true.
There's still a lot of women who are very oppressed within their relationships.
Yeah. And that's the hard thing to swallow, mm-hmm. you know? Like, we're moving... Like 2014, 2015, about to be 2025. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
we're in the age of the Jetsons. And we still, mm-hmm. like, there's this still archaic kind of mind frame of, you know what I mean? Like, stand by your partner. It mm-hmm. will get better in the end. But what if it doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many times does he have to knock you out and someone catch it on video?
Yeah.
For you to be like, this shouldn't be happening to me. Like, I have worth.
Right.
Right? You know?
Right.
And that's what I'm sitting here going, uh-uh, girl!
Yeah, I think it's also not only, I mean, the progress thing is totally apart from the cycle of violence.
Right.
And the fact that, you know, somebody that's in that situation is really being controlled and really fears for their lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, just looking at, I can't, like, remember a statistic off the top of my head, but mm-hmm. saying, you know, the percentage of women that end up dying trying to leave a partner like that, it's a real danger. So, I mean, she could really just be preserving herself by staying with him and trying to be safe.
Right. And
you know,
taking things on the chin as they go.
Yeah.
But that survival's tough. Like, that's... Mm-hmm.
It's tough, and you know, that hadn't happened to have an elevator, it would just all be happening behind closed doors and nobody would be aware of it. Like,
that's true.
So many other people that are going through that.
That's true. Now, I bet you they didn't fire that person who took the video and sold it to TMZ.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you that person is considered a hero,
as opposed
to the other person who took it, sold it to TMZ, got fired, but it had already left the country.
Which was that the first time the video was released?
Yeah.
From, like, the other perspective?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, dang, okay, security people trying to make their money.
Yeah.
Sitting there watching the cameras. I was like, oh, well, yep. Well, that kind of, the Jay-Z and Solange, then kind of set it off. So now everybody looking at security cameras like, what can I catch? What can I buy?
Well, after the first video was released, they knew to go and look at their own stuff. Because mm-hmm. they might not even have known it was there before that happened.
That's true. I know. It's crazy. So we're going to take a break. We're going to be right back. Hello, world. We are back. For our halftime listeners, you're listening to Queer to the T, the number one queer sound promoting a community at large. You can find us on Twitter at Queer to the T. You can find us on Facebook at Queer to the T. You can listen to past episodes at queertothet.blogspot.com. You can listen to past episodes of Queer to the T, Out and About, Purely Proud at prradioonline.blogspot.com. And we are still in the house with...
Christy Eastburn from the March to Embry Culture.
Yes. And so this is your hour, okay?
Okay.
Well, not hour, but you know what I mean. So, I mean, I literally have the rundown, the play-by-play, because that's what they have to do before they come on the show. It's pretty much they have to, like, write everything down. Beginning, middle, end, rooted to the tuta of why they want to come on the show. And then we go, yay or nay.
Mm-hmm.
So I have all of that. I'm actually looking at it right in front of my face. But I think it's better for the audience to hear about it from you. So tell the world, ending rape culture, what it's all about.
Okay. Back in 2011, an event started in Toronto called mm-hmm. Slut Walk. It was inspired by the comments of a police officer who told some college students, if you want to kind of avoid getting raped, just don't dress like a slut. Mm-hmm. So those words, there was kind of a backlash in mm-hmm. Toronto, as you could imagine for anyone hearing that. And those kind of victim blaming and shaming suggestions are kind of something that's very familiar right. all over the, you know, all over the country, all over the world for, mm-hmm. for women to hear. And so once that first walk started, it spread pretty quickly mm-hmm. all over the world. There's marches all over the country in the U.S., India, France, all mm-hmm. over the place. And after it started and started to really get out, there was some community critique mm-hmm. about the word slut not being inclusive for certain populations, not identifying with that word, not wanting to reclaim that word, not feeling that they're in a position to reclaim that word. And there was some calls for the name to change.
Hmm.
I'm not really aware of many other places that have changed the name, mm-hmm. but in Philadelphia, we changed the name last year to okay. March to End Rape Culture.
Mm-hmm.
We felt that it would make our march as inclusive and diverse as possible, as welcoming to all different kinds of people as possible, and also broaden the scope of what we're talking about.
Right.
Because we're not just talking about dress and slut shaming.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about so many different things that go into rape culture and affect different people at different ways. Yeah. Basically, we'll all meet in Thomas Paine Plaza at mm-hmm. 11 a.m. The original location was Love Park, but mm-hmm. we got bumped across the street. We'll meet, we'll get ready, get our posters, have mm-hmm. some announcements, and then we will leave at noon sharp
mm-hmm.
to go on a march. We'll be walking up 15th around Rittenhouse,
nice.
Across Broad into the Gayborhood,
mm-hmm.
around City Hall, and back up to where we started at Thomas Paine Plaza.
Nice.
And then we will have a host of speakers
mm-hmm.
at 1 o'clock that will raise awareness about rape culture, the different aspects of it,
mm-hmm.
how what people and individuals can do to challenge rape culture,
mm-hmm.
and also information to support and assist survivors.
Okay,
we're going to have a lot of community organizations that serve survivors in the community that'll
nice.
Be there to offer information.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have counselors on hand if anyone should feel triggered or have anything that they need to speak to a counselor about right in that moment. There'll also be a lot of local feminist organizations
mm-hmm.
there just to kind of make people aware of the
yeah.
different groups in the area that are trying to fight this fight.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just have a great time.
Having a great time and bringing awareness is always a good idea.
Yeah.
How do you get involved with Used to Be Slut Walk? like Used to Be Slut Walk.
How does a person get involved?
Yeah.
Well, the first step is coming to the event,
mm-hmm.
telling people about it, bringing friends, family.
Mm-hmm.
And then if, basically, it's a little late in the game now to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And we have gotten a lot of people in the community offer to volunteer for this year. But I am going to have a sign up at the walk for people that would like to help in some way for the following
year.
Yeah.
It'll be around the same time next year?
Yes. It'll be next, it'll be probably September or the first week of October of the following year.
Yeah.
And so I got involved really late this year. I didn't get involved until July. And it's been like a really like hit the ground running type thing.
Yeah.
And we had a community meeting last week and a bunch of people came and are like helping out with all this stuff.
Yeah.
So even though I didn't have a lot of time to
mm-hmm.
get to try to do what I was trying to do, it's really come together, and so
yeah.
many people have stepped in to be a part of that.
Yeah.
I'm like really.
That's good, considering like you really had to hit the ground running.
Yeah, I imagine next year we'll start way further in advance,
mm-hmm.
and you know, not have to rush as much. But I think just from the feedback that I've gotten online,
mm-hmm.
there's so many people that have said like, this event means a lot to me. I'm
mm-hmm.
so glad this is happening. Like, thank you
yeah.
for helping to make it happen.
Yeah,
and the fact, I mean, I went last year and really witness what a healing
mm-hmm.
environment it can be for survivors
yeah.
of sexual violence, and just how supportive and uniting it can be.
Yeah.
That I did want to see it, you know, continue. Uh-huh.
Now, will it be any different than when it was last year? Are there any like new, you don't want to say spectacle, but you know what I mean? Like what are the spectacles? Is it going to be anything?
Well, there'll be a couple main differences. The counselors are a new aspect. I think they did that the first year. We're bringing it back.
Okay, good.
There will be a lot more tabling organizations. So there was just two organizations tabling last year. There's going to be over 10 organizations tabling this year.
Yeah.
Another thing that we're adding this year is some poetry.
Nice.
So the Rutgers Slam Poetry team.
Nice.
Who they have their little viral poem online, and they're going to come and do a couple pieces for us. Mm-hmm. And there has been a couple people that have just reached out and say, I have a personal poem that I would like to read. Would you let me read it? And so it's
That's going to be good.
Yeah, in addition to the other speakers we have.
And who is on your speaker list? Are you allowed to tell?
Yes. It's no secret. And all the information is on the Facebook page. Mm-hmm. The Facebook page is actually still called Slut Walk Philly due to Facebook being a pain in the butt.
Yes.
But if you go under that page and look at the event, March to End Rape Culture, all the information is there.
Okay.
But the speakers, Tarana Burke, who founded Just Be Incorporated, Samantha Joe, who organizes the Trans Health Conference as a part of a Mazzoni Center.
Nice.
Preeti Pathak, who is one of the founding members of PAVE Philly.
Mm.
Key Alexander with Philly Stands Up. I mentioned Rutgers, University Slam Poetry Team. Amanda Garacci, who organizes Take Back the Night, will be speaking. Robin Strau from WAR is going to talk a little bit about their services. And then the two people that are going to do little additional poetry performances, Destiny Kubler and Hannah Engel.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a nice lineup you got there.
Yeah.
And I know Key, is it the same Key, was on our show episodes ago.
Yeah.
When we were babies. It was episode 4. That's how talking about transcending gender, which is a really good experience. And I like it that it is inclusive. You mentioned interested in challenging aspects of rape culture, including rape jokes, which people think are funny.
Yeah.
Which I'm just like, what? Transphobia, slut shaming, keepers of violence and silence, racism, use of bodies as sexual objects, sexualization of violence, and lack of education around consent and intimate partner violence, homophobia, and sexist media messages. How does that all encompass? This is a good question. How does it all encompass the terms of ending rape culture? How would transphobia be involved in rape culture? Or something of that nature. I'll think of just names.
Okay. So rape culture is a really complex concept because there are so many different things, beliefs, and ideas that play into it that are really pervasive in society. And transphobia is one of those things. I mean, the rate of violence against trans individuals is horrendous. And I think a lot of times when we hear stories in the news about violence against trans people, we don't always hear even about the assault because they're already dead.
Yeah.
There's already, and
so it's kind of the assault is kind of an aftermath.
Yeah. I mean, once the person is dead, that's the main story, and I think so many trans, especially trans women of color are assaulted and they can't go to the police because they're not supported by the police.
That's
true. And, they're not, maybe they're not even always, really connected with services that are geared towards, cis women.
Yeah.
So, the fact that trans folks aren't really allowed to exist in society gives people permission, or makes people feel entitled to put them in their place, to be violent against them, and that involves sexual violence. Yes. That includes sexual violence. I think that's a good explanation.
No, because I was sitting here and I was like, oh, okay, you're right. If someone, you always hear the story, it's most times it's rude and it's defamatory, where it's man in dress killed.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just that's not how this works.
Yeah.
Or it's like trans person, like the way they have, it's like they're not even human. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you're killed. It's like, yeah, like a byproduct. Mm-hmm. But it's not about the steps that led to the killing. It's just that they're dead.
Yeah.
So it was good. I was like, right. Like on SVU, like it's not how schools work, but like that's my brain goes. It's like the murder is the story,
mm-hmm,
not the steps that led to it.
Yeah.
Which can, in most cases, does include the sexual violence aspect that's left, mm-hmm, completely out. It's just like, nope, they're murdered. That's it.
Yeah.
Which is important.
The rates of sexual violence against trans folks, especially trans women of color, is much higher than other
people. I know. I was looking at that. I was like, wait, what is going on?
Yeah.
Because I was listening to, there was an interview with Laverne Cox and another woman. It's like Harmony, I forgot her name, I'm so sorry. But they were like having this trans woman of color discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just talking about like the rate of how their bodies are just not even viewed as bodies, just like, mm-hmm, things or like objects to be talked about and gawked at and poked and prodded and not even considered human.
Yeah.
And it was a great panel discussion. I was like, yes. Like I was like, yeah, I was like so intrigued and I was like, right, I'm just mind blown.
Yeah.
I was just mind blown.
Right. Yeah, I think when you don't see a human being as like a full human, mm-hmm, deserving of like respect and value, yeah, it's much easier to victimize them, to be violent against them. And I think we see that with women, but with trans women it's just it's really really in a horrible place right now with that.
I know. It's kind of gross. So you guys have a lot. You have a lot going on. So,
yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we'll touch on a lot of important points. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the speakers have sent me their different speaking points, mm-hmm, and there's so much to talk about that there isn't a lot of overlap, you know?
Right, yeah.
I mean, we have one person talking about sex workers' rights and, yeah, victim blaming with sex work, and another person kind of giving the basics of rape culture and talking about, like, why we're here and why this is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Another person talking about, what do they call it? Bystander intervention.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and intervening with bystanders and intervening with perpetrators. So there is, mm-hmm, so much to talk about. And I think that everybody will be able to learn something from the event.
Yeah. I was like, right. Sex workers. That's a thing.
Yeah.
Like, because people think, oh, because you do sex work,
mm-hmm,
I have a right to your body when I want it.
Oh, yeah.
Not, you know what I mean? It's like, no, I'm not on the clock. Calm that down. Like, no means no. Whether what I do Monday to Friday is none of your business. No means no.
Right.
And I think that's why I loved hearing your write-up. And we are in a culture where you're taught don't get raped, as opposed to don't do it at all.
Right.
Like, it's like, well, if you put on this, and if you look a certain way, and if you keep your hair tucked back, and if you look prim and proper,
mm-hmm,
that will keep you from being raped, as opposed to telling the rapers, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't think about that. Like, you don't own anyone's body. It is not yours. Mm-hmm. So don't try to Columbus something that you shouldn't. So I enjoyed that. Before we wrap up, where do you see the march in like 5 years?
If
you
had like
a 5-year plan from right now.
Yeah.
Where do you see it?
I would just love to see it exploded to reaching so many people. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are survivors all over the city, mm-hmm, that don't know about this event.
Yeah.
I would really love to get the word out all over the place, so much more than it is now, and have people coming together to get information, mm-hmm, to heal, to stand together.
Yeah.
I'd also like to see it grow as more of a thing that more men come to.
Yeah.
I mean, that not only, you know, is this, like, everybody knows a survivor of sexual violence, mm-hmm, whether you realize it or not.
Yeah.
And
1 in 3?
Yeah.
1 in 3? 1 in 4?
Yeah. I mean, they say, I think 1 in 4, but I feel like it's higher than that.
Yeah.
Not only is it not a women's issue, because it can affect everyone,
mm-hmm,
men are raped, and I don't know what I'm trying to say. Men.
Like, everyone has the ability to,
yeah,
unfortunately, the society that we live in, everyone is susceptible to sexual assault,
mm-hmm,
whether you like it or not.
Yeah,
it's just the fact of the matter of where we are.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is why I kind of I did like the ideology of changing the name to be inclusive, because mm-hmm. we live in a world where a man would never go to slut walk.
Right.
I'm not a slut.
Yeah.
That terminology is strictly geared towards one particular sex, and yeah. that's female only. Mm-hmm. So they, you know what I mean? They would feel like, well, that has nothing to do with me. Even yeah. if they have your mission statement looking right in their face, they're like, but I'm not a slut though.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, and it can be confusing. I mean, who is this for? Is this for me? Am I not supposed to be there? Mm-hmm. You know? And so changing the name, I did get feedback from men that they felt like it was more something that they should go to. Mm-hmm. And I hope that continues to grow. I mean, male survivors really severely underreport mm-hmm. because, I mean, it is really looked down upon for a man to be raped, to say men cannot be raped. Mm-hmm. And you're not, you know, manly if you have allowed yourself to be raped.
Right.
So there are all those harmful ideas that harm, you know, are damaging for men. But also for anyone that has not had to deal with sexual violence, just yeah. to come and support this because someone in your life has. Yeah. I mean, even coming out and doing something like this can show that you are a safe person to talk
not to.
You know?
And sometimes that's how it begins. It's just like that one step.
Mm-hmm.
That one step.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a step. You like that, don't you?
Yeah.
And we're going to be right. World, we are back wrapping it up with the one and only
Christy Eastburn from March to End Rape Culture.
So you should have this. You guys should have it by now.
Yeah, I know. I really do.
It's all good. Like, I've had so many guests on because I was like, I feel like the guests would want to introduce themselves. Like,
yeah. yeah.
So it's like, and I'm with, and they're like, wait, my name? I don't know my name. Because like, yeah, like, no one really asks you your name, like, on a general basis.
That's not
like
what
that.
I was ready to say.
I'm like, what? I don't know my name. I'm not ready for that. I'm here. I'm like, what is your name? Okay. So, Christy is here, and she's going to give you the who, what, for. One more time, so make sure you take out your pens, your pencils, your iPad, your Kinko Balobas, whatever you need to remember this information, especially if you want to be involved next year or you want to participate, because the walk is coming up really, really soon.
Mm-hmm.
So go right on ahead.
Okay, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. So the march will happen on September 27th, starting at 11 a.m. It's going to go till about 3:30 in Thomas Paine Plaza. That's right next to Love Park at 1401 JFK Boulevard. If you would like to get involved, feel free to come and sign up that day to volunteer moving forward, or you can feel free to just email us at marchtoendrapeculture@gmail.com. Another way to keep up with the march is to follow us on Facebook. I mentioned earlier that the Facebook name is still Slutwalk Philadelphia. Hopefully that will change, but for now you can look that up on Facebook and follow us. Go find the event under that page and join the event. Share it with your friends. Put it on your wall. Take the flyer, make it your banner photo, put it on Twitter. Any help is really appreciated. Also, you know, I know that there is a Slutwalk Twitter, but mm-hmm. I have not gotten on it yet because I haven't had the time.
Right.
So to just come, you know, look on the website, and anything that's updated is going to be on there.
Okay.
All the event information is on there, as well as information to learn more about rape culture is mm-hmm. on that website. So what else? Oh, I also wanted to plug an organization that has been really, really helping a lot with the preparations for the march, and that's Pussy Division.
Mm-hmm.
They're
nice name.
Yeah, guerrilla activist feminist group. Also in Philadelphia, they do like wheat paste and stickers and generally do a lot of stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
But they also plan some events, and they have been so, you know, they've been really integral in getting all of this taken care of in time. But they also have their own cool projects and
nice.
And stuff, ways that you can support them. So they also have a Facebook page if you want to check them out, and a Pussy Division on Twitter. And they have an Etsy shop to get their stuff to support their project. So I'd really encourage checking them out. They'll also be at the march.
Nice.
Thank you so much for having me.
Did you have fun?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's definitely a lot easier than I thought it was going to be.
See? I told you. I was like, don't even worry about it. It's fine. I always have to give, like, the comment because everyone comes, like, and they're just ready. You know, everyone is, like, W-H-Y-Y ready. They're like, except for those who aren't. You know, like, our homegirl, Didi Comedian, is, like, not W-H-Y-Y ready, but it's good. Like, I was like, oh, my God, I want to make sure I have everything. Like, they bring their talking points and little bullets, and I'm just like, that's good, but let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So, well, you're very, very soothing, so.
Oh, thank you. That's good to hear. That's good to know. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Really yes. enjoyed it and learned a lot. See, infotainment, I told you.
Yes.
Infotainment, right?
I love it.
So we're going to say good night.
Good night. Thank you.
You've been listening to Queer to the T, the number one queer sound promoting a community at large.
Queer to the T, the number one queer sound.
Met a woman from a foreign land. She held magic in her hand, and as she blew, five bubbles flew. Make a wish, she said, 'cause dreams come true. So I said, love and laughter, joy with pain, to never feel alone again. Safety in a world of war, to be with someone I adore, and conflict with a grain of salt, where it doesn't matter who's at fault. All of this and so much more made up the dreams I wish for.